genetic effects on night shift, infections affect anticoagulants, carrying infectious with us at work, and we'll take a look at the RNFM radio podcast with a special interview with hosts Keith Carlson and Kevin Ross from that show. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show, podcast for nurses by nurses. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to welcome all of you to this program. Take this opportunity to thank you for checking out the show this week. I'm glad you're here. This week on the show, we'll be looking at several interesting news items, including a look at how night shift might be affecting your genes. Then, after the news, I'll bring you a special interview segment with Kevin Ross and Keith Carlson from the RNFM radio podcast, another of the nursing podcasts available for you over at the ProMed Network. So check out my conversation with them about nursing, podcasting, and more later on in this episode. Before we get to that, though, I do want to make sure that you are checking out the information that you hear on this show. Make sure you follow up on all of the information from this and every episode by heading over to nursingshow.com. Check out the links over there for each episode's show notes. There's also other articles and links to things like the free Nursing Show mobile app, student nurse tips, and a whole lot more. Make sure you are following up so that you know how what I talk about on the show each week is applied using your own nursing scope of practice. If you want to get back in touch with me, I hope you'll do so. Please drop me an email. You can send those emails into me directly by shooting them out to nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, and I respond back to every email that comes in. So please send me links to news items you'd like me to cover. Perhaps you have some interview suggestions that you have with you or somebody you know. Whatever the case may be, I hope you'll keep those emails coming. That's it. I'll have some more contact information later on in this episode, but let's go ahead and get on into this week's news items coming right up. Kicking off the news this week, we're going to take a look at a new study from British researchers on the long-term effects of night shift work and other disruptions to sleep patterns that force people to sleep during the day. When you upset your natural sleep balance, apparently, you also disrupt your genetic coding mechanisms. Up to one-third of your genes and their protein replicating ability can be affected adversely by this disruption. The study in question looked at a group of volunteers who participated in a sleep study while getting regular blood draws for the lab. They found that a number of the body's genes, about 6.4% of them, are tied directly to the natural circadian rhythms of the body. During the sleep study, a number of these genes lost sync with the changed sleep cycle. Now, when the study concluded, the authors said that perhaps up to one-third of the body's genes could have a negative effect from altered sleep cycles. Now, this study needs further research. The authors say that, and so do I. We need to back up these findings with future sleep studies, but it does potentially point out why shift work has been tied to increased risk for health problems like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Our genes are responsible for replicating our body's proteins, as we all know, and when those proteins are replicated differently or in alternate forms, it just makes sense that our body's smoothly running systems are affected in some way. Now, as I said, we need to look at this more closely, but in the meantime, those of us working alternate schedules or with patients who work alternate schedules, maybe we should be watching out for some of our modifiable risk factors for these things to balance out the potential changes to your body from working night shift. I'll keep up on this topic and I'll be looking for future articles on this topic, and you can check out them here on The Nursing Show as they come out, so stay tuned. Next up in the news is another study that looked at how common upper respiratory infections and antibiotic use may affect people who are also taking anticoagulants like warfarin. Now, we all know the importance of managing anticoagulant patients carefully. We look at their medication management, we get frequent blood monitoring going on, and there are also dietary changes and medication interactions that we have to keep track of that all have known effects on a patient's INR for people taking warfarin. What this most recent study found was that something as simple as a cold or sinus infection could also have an effect. The people looked at in the study were taking warfarin, and the changes seen when they got an infection, both with and without antibiotics, were significant. The researchers found that both the infection group and the antibiotic group had a significant increase in their INRs when their blood work was checked. Now, we've known for a long time that many drugs, including some antibiotics, affect the metabolizing of warfarin in the body. This causes an increased risk for bleeding in these patients. Now, remember that a normal INR, or international normalized ratio, is 1 for somebody that's not taking any anticoagulants, and the target for those that are is 2 to 3.5. In the study, the researchers looked at patients whose INR rose to 5 or higher when an infection was present. The authors cautioned that there shouldn't be an automatic change to the people's warfarin prescriptions prophylactically when they have an infection. Only about 3.5% of the patients showed this increased level. What the authors are recommending, though, is that when somebody has an infection, that we implement increased monitoring for these patients, especially when they have antibiotics being used concurrently. So add this thought to your patient education when someone starts taking warfarin at home. Perhaps they should keep track of when they are ill and notify you or their prescriber for advice and to get increased monitoring when these problems occur. Finally, in the news this week, we'll take a look at our dress code as we work in healthcare. A new report from the Society for Healthcare Epidemiology of America says that healthcare workers need to change their attire habits when treating patients in a healthcare setting. What they say is that the recommendations in their report are based on common sense and what they're saying is scientific evidence from numerous studies. You know, we focus on so many things when we look at infection control in a hospital setting, but do we look that hard at ourselves? What are we wearing every day that we need to wash or change or do both more frequently? The new recommendations are for the removal of things like rings, watches, ties, lab coats, and stethoscopes, and other things so that they can be washed and taken care of more frequently or not worn at all. Things like rings and other jewelry just might have to go. We might have to use a wall clock rather than our watches to take pulses from now on. Short sleeves are in so we can keep germy fabrics away from patients, and we will need to wash lab coats and other similar attire more frequently to ensure that they are truly clean for each patient. As for other tools like our beloved stethoscopes, well, we need to make sure we're wiping them down frequently between patients, completely keeping them from transporting infections from one patient to the next. So check out the article for yourself to see what else you can do to prevent infections from being spread by your habits and outerwear. Do you have a comment on this story or any of our news items this week? If you do, I hope you'll get back in touch with me. You can get back in touch with me with your thoughts by shooting me an email to nursingshow@gmail.com. Or you can leave a comment right here on the Nursing Show site below any of the articles. I look forward to hearing from you, and as always, I will return your emails. In this week's Tip of the Week, I have a special interview segment with RNFM radio hosts, nurses Keith Carlson and Kevin Ross. Their show is one of the excellent nursing podcasts that lives alongside The Nursing Show on the ProMed Network. I got the chance recently to get together with both of them and chat with Keith and Kevin about their show and nursing in general, as well as looking at their experiences recently at a conference for nurse entrepreneurs. They attended the National Nurses in Business Association conference recently, and this past year they brought some of the flavor of this conference to their audience, and I thought it would be nice to talk a little bit about that with you as well. I urge you to check out their episodes over at rnfmradio.com, and in the meantime, here's their interview here at The Nursing Show. So I want to welcome Keith Carlson and Kevin Ross from RNFM Radio here on The Nursing Show. I'm excited to finally get you guys on. I know we've actually been chatting for quite a while before we actually turned the recorder on for this segment. But guys, welcome to The Nursing Show. And again, thanks for being part of the ProMed Network.
Well, it's our honor, Jamie. And I know I think for Keith and I, it's a little bit different because we're the ones who are usually the interviewing. And it's nice to actually, it's a refreshing change to be interviewed. So I'm just glad to be here.
Oh, I am. Yeah, I am too, Jamie. Thank you so much for having us. It's really wonderful. And you've done a lot for us too. So we really appreciate it on many levels.
Well, so you guys got a chance to go to a conference that focused on nurse entrepreneurs. I think it was back in December.
October, actually.
October. Was it that long ago? Oh, good grief. Yeah. Okay, so October. But I talked to you back in the fall about touching base with you after that conference and kind of picking your brains about some of the things you saw, because one of the things I think that nurses always look at is the various ways they can use their career in different opportunities. And one of those things is to actually have their own business. And you guys have your setup in business with RNFM Radio. I have my production company that produces all the healthcare programming here at Medicast Productions. But there are other opportunities for nurses out there. So I don't know who wants to go first, but tell us a little bit about the conference in general and how you kind of arranged to be there.
After you, Kevin.
Well, as far as the arrangement was concerned, Pat Bemis, who is actually the CEO of the NNBA, she reached out to Keith and I early on in 2013, around February, I believe. And she'd even reached out to us the year prior. But the show was in its infancy, RNFM Radio, and we just didn't really feel well prepared to be there in 2012. So 2013 was a great opportunity. So we had been planning it for several months, from February 2013 all the way up to October. And really, I think as a show, RNFM Radio, we sort of took on the role of helping build awareness and engagement from a virtual perspective.
Okay.
And so what we wanted to do, we knew that there were going to be attendees at the conference, but what we had presented to Pat was, why don't we create a hashtag, and the hashtag was NNBA 2013, and really build some buzz for those attending the conference, getting people interested in attending the conference, and also bringing a virtual presence there. And quite frankly, I think, Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, but we were out on Twitter and various other platforms, and while we were at the conference in October, all the way from the build-up, from the months, from the summer all the way up to the fall, I think we had a total of 16 million impressions with that hashtag alone. And so we created our presence on being there at the conference is bringing people in virtually. And so we created this virtual component of the NNBA conference so that people could really be fed the information from the presenters. And that was really our RNFM Radio involvement and how we kind of got started. So we just partnered with Pat in a collaborative approach and just build it up, during that time.
Yeah, I've chatted with Pat on the Campaign for Nursing's Future, Johnson & Johnson Nursing Notes Live podcast that I do when we did a monthly episode on nurse entrepreneurs about a year ago. And she's, fascinating woman and quite accomplished as an entrepreneur, not just as a nurse, but as a nurse entrepreneur.
Right, right. Well, and I think that was the benefit of the conference, to be honest, is first and foremost for us, for Keith and I, and I think he would agree, it was like a family reunion for us because we'd had so many of the presenters on our show and we knew each other but had never met. And it was so great to see all of these people we had on the show. Like we just go way back, even though never laid physical eyes on each other.
Right.
But I think the important aspect of being at the conference there in person, but also virtually, is that I think nurses still feel as budding entrepreneurs, is this a viable opportunity for me? Is this an option that I can really run with? And to see nurses that are doing it successfully is really kind of proof in the pudding, so to speak. To see us all as we would say successful or experts in the industry, and so it really kind of created some viable opportunity to say or validity.
Right.
It validated these questions, and it was an opportunity for these nurses to really pick our brains and hear what we had to say. And so we were just happy to be there and to be able to offer that to them.
Right. And I think it's important to create this virtual conversation because not many people can go to conferences. We all know that travel is expensive, that conference attendance is down around the country, I think, from the perspective of many people who host conferences. So there's a lot of research out there and writing now about how healthcare conferences can really be broadened in terms of their breadth, depth, and scope and their reach using social media to do that and internet radio and other types of platforms. So I think it was really important for us to be there physically and meet all of our friends and have all those face-to-face connections and sit and have a glass of wine with people we've known for several years but have never really met. But the other part, as Kevin said, all of those impressions on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and elsewhere was really bringing other people into that conversation mm-hmm. who couldn't be there physically. And that was a really exciting part of it for me.
Oh, it sounds like it. And you know, it's funny. I go to conferences and I'll tell my kids all the time, I'm going to meet somebody for the first time I've known for years.
right.
Because even if I haven't spoken to them on an interview or something like that, I feel like I've gotten to know them through Twitter conversations and Facebook conversations and things like that that we've had back and forth over the time. And it just shows the power of the social aspect of social media and how powerful a tool it really is. And that's exciting that you guys were able to generate so much buzz about a single event like that. And really get the word out about it, because like you said, there are probably a lot of nurse entrepreneurs out there that don't even know about the conference.
No, and again, we were so glad to be able to fill that gap for the NNBA and for Pat, because again, like you said, she's a savvy entrepreneur, very knowledgeable, and certainly it's a great jumping off point because she's got the live conference there. And so we really just kind of took the platform, you know, with her blessings and just put it into the virtual space. And as Keith said, we engaged with the community. And that's really first and foremost what we want to do. You know, Pat has the community there. We helped build it from a virtual perspective. And hopefully she actually said that we had generated some folks that attended live. So it was great that we did that. But yeah, building awareness in general, not just for the NNBA, but the fact that, we can take these conferences to a virtual level, another level, and you can attend, you know, in your pajamas or whatever outfit you want to wear. You know, pants optional.
That's
but
right.
You can still get the great content that was definitely delivered there, the NNBA.
Right.
So when you were at the conference, was there any particular type of entrepreneur that you saw more of there? Is there one particular opportunity out there that seems to fit nurses better, or is it really the sky's the limit?
Well, you know, and I think, Keith, you might be able to speak better to this. When it comes to nurse entrepreneurs, there's a lot of the terminology sort of being passed back and forth as a nurse coach or a mentor, someone who is either a health coach helping patients either individually or in small groups, or the coaches that help other nurses to start their businesses or to help with lifestyle and the stressors that happen with being either an entrepreneur or as Keith does, and he can speak to it, obviously articulate better than I can, where, you know, we hear about nurse burnout quite often.
Right.
So, Keith, you could probably second that as far as the number of nurses that we saw were actual coaches.
There were quite a few nurses there. One nurse, whose name escapes me at the moment, spoke on coaching and what nurse coaching really means. So there was conversation about that during the conference. And I think there was a lot of talk there around nurses wanting to help other nurses. But I think there was also a pretty wide variety of entrepreneurs there. There were people with all sorts of ideas. There was Renee Thompson, there was Gary Bronga, who's actually not a nurse, but he was talking about inventing, trademarking, copywriting, all the issues around actually developing an actual product that you would put out in the world, a physical product. So it was really interesting to hear everyone's perspective. And Pat brings in a very wide variety of people who are interested in nursing and entrepreneurship. So there were people talking about the nuts and bolts of business, but then there were those who were talking about the what we might call the softer arts of coaching and helping others and really taking your nursing skills and leveraging them as a coach.
So it's really not just a look at nurses who are not just meeting different opportunities for nurses and like going to an exhibition, for instance, but really also looking at how to, the nuts and bolts of building a business.
Right. And I think that's where nurses feel from their skill set. I think that nurses feel confident when it comes to their clinical expertise or their knowledge, whatever niche they're in. But how do I actually execute on that? How can I brand myself really just the nuts and bolts, start a business, do it legally, how much do I charge? And to be honest, Jamie, and again, Keith could probably second this because he had a fantastic little roundtable or a little workshop on the last day. Social media is a big one.
Okay.
How do I get myself out there? How do I market myself? What, how do I utilize social media? I hear about Twitter and tweeting or LinkedIn, but I really don't know how to utilize it to really build community. And again, that was our main focus, is building community with social media. And Keith did a great roundtable on LinkedIn profiles.
Oh, great. I'm sorry I missed it now, because I'm always trying to learn more. I mean, there's so many different platforms of social media out there, and everybody has the one they specialized in the most or do better at. But there's always something new that you can learn. And that's one of the things these types of conferences, even if it's, whether it's a traditional healthcare conference or a conference like this for nurses, it's really the little gems of information you pick up there.
That's true, Jamie. And I was trying to share in that workshop that Kevin so kindly spoke of about the nuts and bolts of LinkedIn, really, how to maximize your profile, how to use it well. And a lot of nurses are out there using social media now. So part of what I offer in my coaching is helping nurses and nurse entrepreneurs figure out, how do you build an authentic network? Because it's easy just to go on LinkedIn and connect with this person and connect with this person very impersonally and kind of collect connections. But there's a lot more to social media than that. So what I really focus on is the authenticity of social media connections. And Kevin's and my relationship is built on what started as a Twitter friendship.
Right.
So you never know what's going to come of that. So when you connect with people authentically and, with a lot of heart, there's a lot that can come of it in terms of business on the professional side, but also on the personal side, and just building your own support network out there in the world.
What is it about being a nurse that I think, I have my own thoughts about this, but I'm curious what you all think. What is it about being a nurse that makes you a good entrepreneur? Because there are some really fabulous nurse entrepreneurs out there that bring their nursing skill set to the table.
Hmm. Triaging skills, assessment skills, that's probably the mainstay that really nurses need to accept, that we are used to doing that with a patient, a complex patient. Entrepreneurship is a very complex platform, so to speak. And I think that nurses are extremely well positioned because we know how to triage a situation and look at, okay, well, and it's never middle of the road. I mean, because, the complexity of our patients that we see, we try to go from point A to point B, when we are developing our business ideas and the plans and the execution, but it never works out that way, with our patients, because you got to go in through the side window or a different door or whatever that is. So I think that's probably the strength, probably the number one strength. And we are a creative bunch. We really are, because we do have to get creative, especially when we're in the home settings and, somebody with an inhaler. We try to figure out, what do we use for a spacer? Well, you take the inhaler, you take like an old, toilet paper, the cardboard pieces that, and make the spacer. And it's just that we get creative that way. So I think creativity and our assessment skills are probably, good points for nurses to really embrace.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And if you're just out of school listening to this, just out of nursing school, you might hate hearing me mention critical thinking and the nursing process, but those really go a long way towards entrepreneurship and the skills that you have to bring to bear as a business person and as someone out there networking in the world and trying to build something new for yourself. So those two pieces of nursing, I think, really go a long way towards helping you be successful and do what you want to do out there.
And one of the important things I think nurses all develop in the course, starting in nursing school and going beyond, is their time management skills and prioritization. Somebody was asking me that the other day about how do I think I fit in with my time management skills? Am I able to get enough done? And I said, absolutely. And I attribute that directly to nursing school. I had to be a good time manager starting there because of all the things I had to get done. And it took me right on into the practical and clinical setting, because you have to be able to manage so many different things and really plan out your day, plan out your events in order.
Right. Multitasking. That's a great point, Jamie, because we definitely juggle quite a bit. For those nurses who know what it's like to juggle, whether you're at the bedside or in a community health or whatever. So, and as an entrepreneur, we are constantly juggling multiple projects, tasks, and there's a lot going on. So yeah, prioritizing that list is also key.
So do you have a piece of advice for somebody that's a budding entrepreneur as a nurse that says, hey, I've got this idea of how I can use my skills as a nurse in one way or another in building a business? Do you have any piece of advice you'd like to offer them?
Did you want to start with that, Keith, or would you like me to?
Sure. I think the first thing I would say would be to connect with other nurse entrepreneurs. That it's like Kevin and I talked about when we spoke at the National Nurses and Business Association conference. It's not about, it's really not about competition. It's about collaboration and cooperation. So don't be afraid to reach out to people, even those nurse entrepreneurs who are doing what you think you want to do, because there's plenty of work out there for everybody. So it's about reaching out and building your network and building a support system and surrounding yourself with people who know slightly more than you do, so that you can glean information, pick their brains, and bring that back to your own business and your own endeavors.
I couldn't have said that better, Keith. And he's hitting you're hitting the nail right on the head, because that's what I would have said as far as a collaborative approach. Ask questions and really reach out to those who have done it before, who've left skin in the game. Again, I always talk about leaving skin in the game.
Yeah.
Reach out to those experts. And we really do want to help, and we want to collaborate. And I even talk about bringing it back to even the raw business. So I'll talk about tech for a second and say, okay, well, here is a smartphone. There's someone making the screen for it, the chip for it, the innards, but really it's just the brand that you're focusing on. So you could have multiple partners within your business or in your community that are really helping you develop either that product or service and to bring it to market. And I think a lot of nurses are now realizing that there are many of us out there who were really well positioned in a niche and we do something really well. So focus on what you do really well, and then partner with others who want to do those things, like spreadsheets or really boring things that I don't want to do, to help you bring your product or service to market. And that's just really some basic business knowledge, because there are businesses out there, multi-million, multi-billion dollar businesses, that rely on partnerships and collaboration.
Yes.
Day after day. And I think that's a big piece of advice that we need to embrace as nurses.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. I just got back from the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, and there's all these multi-billion dollar companies there, Ford and Chevy and Samsung and Sony. And some of the most exciting announcements that came out of that event were centered around partnerships between brands to achieve a new product or service in the marketplace. And so I think that you need to look for those opportunities and not be afraid to even ask a standard storefront business in your community. You know, if you know somebody who owns their own business, there are some common things that all people in business have to go through. And so use them as a resource as well, not just the nurse entrepreneurs or nurses you know, but people in business in general. Even if they own a grocery store or a convenience store or something like that, there are some things they have to do to be in business that you're going to have to do, and maybe learn some of the tricks that they use to get through the day.
Agreed. And again, you said it quite well. And I think, if nurses embrace that concept and that idea, then I think, success is just but mere moments away for you,
right?
Especially when you partner and really focus on your strengths and just reach out to those who have other strengths that you really need in your business. So again, I agree. So great points.
Great. Keith, Kevin, where can folks find you online and find your show so we can tell them how to listen to more of what you guys have to say?
Sure, of course. They can always find us through ProMed Network, of course. That's one place they can find RNFM Radio. And also rnfmradio.com is the central place to find anything related to our show and anything that we're up to.
Great. And how about on Twitter for you guys if they want to look you up?
At RNFM Radio. And we also publish a lot of posts and updates under the hashtag RNFM Radio. So we're very much into social media, as you, I'm sure all of you are aware. But yeah, we would love to have you as part of our community so that we can continue to just build it and share with each other. And that's really our mission and philosophy at RNFM Radio, is to bring our listeners, you know, fantastic content that they can really use in their personal lives and their professional lives.
Great. Well, Keith Carlson, Kevin Ross from RNFM Radio, thanks so much for coming on The Nursing Show, talking about your experiences at this conference. And of course, everybody go out there and check out RNFM Radio.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie, so much. Thanks.
That's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week. You know, make sure you are following up on the information you hear in this week's episode. You may have picked up some ideas and tidbits. Head over to The Nursing Show site at nursingshow.com and check out the show notes link right there at the top of the page. Over there, you'll find listings for all the episodes of The Nursing Show, including the most recent one, all the way back to the very first Nursing Show episode. But it's important for you to get the full information there so that you can understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. If you want to get back in touch with me, and I hope you do want to get back in touch with me, go ahead and shoot me an email. You can send that into nursingshow@gmail.com. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So send me in your comments. Maybe you have a question about an episode, a suggestion, or a news link you'd like me to feature on a future episode. Whatever thing, support the Nursing Show community and lend your input. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter by checking out the link on the right-hand side of the Nursing Show site. Just fill out that short form, and all of the links from each episode can be sent directly to your email inbox each week. You can also connect with me over on social media sites under the handle PodMedic. So catch me over there at twitter.com/PodMedic and over at facebook.com/PodMedic. Friend or follow me over on those sites. You can also become a member of the community over at Facebook by liking the Nursing Show Facebook page. You can find that over at facebook.com/nursingshow. Just click the like button there at the top of the page and join the conversation there. I post other nursing articles and pictures and things like that each week that don't end up in the episode, so make sure you check all of that out. That's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back soon with more episodes here of The Nursing Show. It comes out here every Friday for you to wrap up your nursing week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.